Welcome to day 354 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and I'm happy that you've joined me today. We are going to be reading through the book of 1 Peter today. This book was written by the Apostle Peter, also known as Simon Peter, one of the very first disciples of the Lord Jesus. As you are most familiar, he was a fisherman by profession, and he was brought to Jesus by his brother Andrew, who had been a follower of John the Baptist and had been present when John the Baptist identified Jesus as the Lamb of God. So he went and took Simon Peter and brought him to Jesus. And so this man, who's known for his impetuous personality, his zeal for the Lord, his swearing to Jesus that he would never betray him even if everyone else did, and then denying him three times the same very day before the cock crowed, was also one who was so deeply grieved at his own failings that it took the Lord's great grace and love to restore him completely to fellowship with the Lord and to prepare him for the great ministry that the Lord Jesus had intended for him. And he also became essentially the most preeminent of the apostles and was known as the apostle to the Jews, though he was used by the Lord in the one instance with some Gentiles, but Paul primarily was the one that ministered to the Gentiles and evangelized among the Gentiles and brought so many to Christ. And Peter went out among the Jews primarily. So today's epistle, which was written most likely after Paul's epistles were written, it's estimated by Bible scholars to have been written somewhere around 64 AD and 67 AD, somewhere in that time frame, after Paul's had been written, and also after Nero, the emperor of Rome, had already started a very systematic persecution of the Christians. So you will find that this particular epistle carries the theme of having hope in the midst of trials. So beginning today at 1 Peter chapter 1, we are reading from the New American Standard Bible, and we will start at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. As to this salvation, The prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Chapter 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture: "Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed." This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation.
Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return, while suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Chapter 3. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed, and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. Chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the Spirit according to the will of God. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer, or thief, or evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Chapter 5. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Through Silvanus, our faithful brother, for so I regard him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings, and so does my son, Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace be to you all who are in Christ. This is the end of today's scripture reading and the end of the book of 1 Peter. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In today's devotional, I want to focus on a very important verse that we find in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. We'll begin with 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. And then verse 7, which is the one I'm going to focus on today, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, I want to talk about this idea of casting all your anxiety on the Lord because he cares for you. We live in an age when anxiety seems to hang in the atmosphere around people 24 hours a day. People are often anxious about financial issues, about their family, about their health, about their future, about their safety and security. And this is a constant battle that most people face on a daily basis. And yet here we are instructed by the Apostle Peter to cast all our anxiety on the Lord. And that word cast quite literally means to throw upon or to place upon. So to take something and throw it upon someone else, or to take that thing and place it upon something else. If you ask most people, would you like to get rid of your anxiety? I doubt you would find a single soul that would say, no, I'll keep it, thanks. Because no one enjoys the sense or feeling of anxiety. It's a foreboding feeling. It's a feeling of things are about to get worse or something terrible is about to happen. And it has an undercurrent of fear. And yet Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes that we are called to cast, to throw, to place our anxiety and fear upon the Lord because He cares for you. Now that word care comes from a Greek word that was used for the way that a shepherd watched over his sheep with great care. He shepherded them and he's watching continuously, vigilantly, diligently for the condition of the sheep. Are they healthy? Are they well watered? Do they have enough food? Are there insects trying to bother them? Are they being tormented by a parasite? Or are they wandering too close to the edge of a cliff? The shepherd watches his flock with such great care that he's acutely sensitive to the condition of his flock. And as I taught earlier in the year when we were talking about this idea of a shepherd and a sheep, that there were four specific conditions that the shepherd would be very watchful for in the sheep, because if any of these conditions occurred, the sheep would be unable to lie down. And in that famous shepherd psalm, Psalm 23, it says about the good shepherd that's being described that he makes me, the sheep, to lie down in green pastures. And the only way that the sheep can lie down is if they're free from fear, they're free from discord or conflict within the flock, and they're free from hunger and free from anxiety of being attacked by a predator. So the shepherd is able to assist the sheep in being free from those types of fears and anxieties. And we are instructed as God's sheep to take all the anxiety that assaults us and cast it upon Jesus. Throw it upon Jesus. He can handle it. It's not too great for Him because He cares for you like that shepherd who's so sensitive and so watchful and so diligent and so careful to make sure the sheep are happy and healthy and free of fear and able to lie down and relax in the beautiful green grass. You know, when we get to the end of a year, oftentimes people look at the coming new year not with happy anticipation of good things coming, but often with trepidation over the unknown, over what may happen in the new year, what may not happen in the new year. And there's an anxiety that's often present in people as one year comes to a close and another begins as to what the future may hold. And I want to encourage you with this beautiful passage today that we take very seriously this exhortation to quite literally cast all our anxieties upon the Lord, trusting that He is better than any human shepherd, and a human shepherd watches so diligently and so carefully and so lovingly and affectionately over the sheep so that they are not tormented. But instead, He is a greater shepherd than any human shepherd could ever be. And the scripture tells us, He cares for us. We can, we are able, we are invited to cast all our anxiety upon Him and leave it with Him and lie down in that beautiful grass that the shepherd leads us to, a place of rest, a place of peace. And if, in fact, we make that choice, we decide to agree with the Word of God that we are able to cast our cares, our anxieties on the Lord, then we can have the result of it, that peace that God will give us. And we read just a few days ago in the book of Philippians, in the 4th chapter, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, which means you can't figure out how this can work when you have this pressure in your life, maybe financial, maybe family, maybe other, and yet the peace of God can cut through all that and guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus, but only if you choose to cast your anxieties on the Lord, because the previous verse here in Philippians 4 says this, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, which will bypass your logical thinking if you'll allow it to, will serve as a guard over your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. The Lord, when He inspired the Apostle Paul to write those two verses in Philippians, and inspired the Apostle Peter to write these two verses in 1 Peter, knew very well the pressures of life that His children would face as they walked on this earth. He knew. He knew the pressures even of our modern age back some 2,000 years ago when these words were written. He knew what we would face. He knew how complicated society would have become and how complex the problems would be. And yet, He wrote these words for us. Be anxious for nothing. A modern day person may say it's impossible to live without anxiety, but the Word of God is true, and the Word of God is powerful, and the Word of God helps us to live on a higher level than just the earthly level where it's impossible to live without anxiety. You are a God person. You are a supernatural person because you have a supernatural God living inside of you. And by His grace and with His help, you can live without anxiety. You can cast all your anxiety and cares upon Him. You can be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and then you can experience the peace of God guarding your heart and mind as you walk through the difficult situation that you had been anxious about so recently. God wants you to be free from anxiety. He wants you to live above the circumstances, not under the circumstances. You hear people saying, oh, I'm okay under the circumstances. Well, God never intended you to be under any circumstance. He intended you as a believer, as a born-again Christian, as a Spirit-filled Christian, to be more than a conqueror, to live above all circumstances, seeing victory after victory as you walk through difficulty and see the enemy flee and the Red Sea part and God's miracle power working in your life. But you cannot experience that if you allow anxiety to run like a river through your mind. One modern day writer described anxiety as a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it then cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. God doesn't want anxiety running like a river through your mind where every other thought is simply sucked into the vortex of it. Instead, God wants you to live free from anxiety. He fully invites you. Take your anxiety, these fear of current or future circumstances, and cast them over to me. And don't carry it yourself. Let me be the one that carries it for you and bears it for you, because I care for you. That is the beautiful promise of God that we really can cast all our cares upon our good shepherd, and he will happily take them and guard our hearts and minds with his precious peace. Make an effort this week. Every time an anxious thought, a fearful thought tries to sneak into your mind, that you imagine yourself taking that anxiety, stuffing it in a backpack and heaving it across to Jesus, and see him smile as he catches it and it disappears because it cannot remain with him, the Prince of Peace. God wants you to live in peace. God wants you to walk in peace, even if you're going through a challenging season of your life, because he's your shepherd and he truly loves and cares for you. God bless you and give you a victorious and anxiety-free week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.